just sitting down there, just thinking about what God was just saying through that testimony. It's amazing that we should never underestimate what God can do through little young ones. And we ought to prepare them with God's anointing. You see, God's anointing is no respecter of any age. God can just pour it down and touch lives and do something miraculous that is far beyond our comprehension. And I want to challenge you is that every time when you have children and families, there is always possibility what God wants to do in their lives. And I'm excited for that. And also at the same time, I'm excited for what God is going to say today in regards to the topic. It's about a place where sometimes we want to be there. You know, in our entertainment world today, there are a lot of young people who like to take selfie with some popular names. Am I right or not? Like James Holland, you know, this kind of names. They want to take selfie like that. You know? And they will go to where he is. They want to take selfie. Am I right or not? And then if you get some other people, they are actors or actresses, you just want to go there and take a selfie with them as well. And sometimes, you know, there's a group of people taking pictures and they see you down there. They say, come over here, take pictures with us. And you're invited to that particular place to be with a famous person. Amen? And I take pictures with Malcolm. He's a very famous guy, you know, because his name is always in the TV, you know. Malcolm in the middle, Malcolm Tumble. I mean, sorry, Malcolm not. But the beautiful thing is about getting invited in the place where you can be with somebody famous. And today I want to invite you to a place where there's going to be an extraordinary experience. We call that the holy ground. We want you to come and stand on the holy ground. Reason why? Because holy ground is a place where the natural intersect with the supernatural. It is a place where the Almighty God of Israel began to spend the night with Daniel in the lion's den. It is the Almighty God not only spent his time with Daniel in the lion's den, but he actually walked with Daniel's three companions in the fiery furnace. This great Almighty God is not only one who walks with Daniel's three companions, but he also walked with Moses, appeared before Moses in the flaming bush. He also filled up the temple of glory, brilliant glory around Isaiah. This is the moment where the natural intersects with the supernatural. It is unexpected. It cannot be explained. But it is undeniable. This is the ground where God began to unveil his plans. It is a ground where God revealed his destiny for you individually. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see the holy ground. I want to invite you to come and stand on this holy ground as well. It is mentioned twice in the Old Testament in the scripture. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 6. And this particular incident took place when Moses was actually attracted to this unusual sight. And there he was looking into it deeper because it intrigued him. He was very much interested to this flaming bush that was right before him at a certain distance, yet it was not consumed. So he responded by moving closer and closer to the burning bush. And then the Lord said to him, do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And there is another scripture that is also taken. Is in Joshua chapter 5. Right after he crossed the river Jordan, before he was called to march around Jericho, he was at the place where they were circumcised. And at that point of time, there was a commander of the army of God appeared before him. And when he appeared, the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Two scriptures very much clearly reveal to us that God spoke to them by asking and telling them to remove their sandals because they're standing on holy ground. How does that apply to all of us today? What is the common ground that we are listening from this passage? Before we go any further, allow me to bring you to the time period. Firstly, it was coinciding with the season of the Passover and also the Holy Week. We just had our Holy Week last week, the Easter, that was known as the Holy Week. But here it is also coinciding with the season of the Passover, because Joshua chapter 5 verse 10, he says, "On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camp at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover." So this event, or the conversation of what God had spoken to Joshua, took place during the Passover. For Moses, he was spoken to, and he was the one who brought in the concept and the understanding of the Passover. Passover, as many of us are familiar with, it is about deliverance. Passover is not just only about deliverance, but there is also something that involves the month of the beginning. And I want you to take note of that word, because in Joshua chapter 5, verse 11 to verse 12, he says, "The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan." In other words, the moment they stepped onto that land and started to eat the food that came from the land, everything else that they experienced in the wilderness stopped. Whatever manna they have began to stop. This is going to be the beginning of their lives. That's why the commander spoke and to Joshua and to Moses, because something of the beginning is coming. You see, we also know that this is not only the intersection of the natural with the supernatural, but it is also about the heaven invading the earth. When heaven invades the earth, something special will happen. There will be answers against any of the impossibilities that you and I as human beings try to comprehend. The purpose of the Son of God began to manifest, and you began to realize what it means for your life. When heaven invades the earth, the Holy Spirit resets the parameters. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to realize that heaven is full of the Holy Spirit activities. He says, "When your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Which means to say, here on earth, we have human programs, we have human ideas, we have human desires. But when you come to the heavenly places, the Lord is telling us there's going to be the Holy Spirit activities. Because the invasion from heaven on earth is going to bring about change in the lives of people and also in the governance of this earth. But I need to know one thing. I need to know, how can I have a better experience and a better view of God's invasive power? So let me take you along with it and start with this understanding how it began. First and foremost, it required a willingness to look into the situation deeper. Moses thought to himself at the time. He says, I will go over and I will see this particular situation, why the bush does not burn up. As he began to make his response to get deeper and closer, I want you to realize the Lord responded to him. You know what it means, church? It simply means one thing. When you make a correct response, God will respond to you. Are you there? When you make the correct response, God will respond to you. Many of the children of God today do not know how to respond to God. They respond on the basis of their feeling, on the basis of whether they like it or not. You do not respond to that. You respond to what God wants you to have. You respond to the heartbeat of the Father. You respond to the need that God is speaking to you. You respond. And when you do that, the Lord responds to you. The Lord will respond to you. Hallelujah. I'm glad when I saw this, Moses went so much closer, and then the Lord called him, Moses, Moses. And Moses responded and said, here I am. Do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. At that moment, as I was reading and meditating upon this passage, I asked another question. What if Moses ignored that burning bush? What if we ignored that burning bush experience? What if? And I realized that I read the entire chapter and few other chapters, you will notice one thing. Moses will miss the greatest historical event because God used him after the response. The moment you ignore to respond correctly, you will miss the greatest history of your own life. I am so glad when the Lord put in my heart when I was a young man. But when I was that young, the Lord showed me to get into the ministry, I challenged God by telling him, show me something that I've never seen before. As I was going to work in the bank, that early morning, and I was walking along the pathway which I used to take. Lo and behold, I've never seen incidences that happened before when I was walking to the place. Every corner of that turn that I made, there was a crippled man. I prayed the day before and the next morning. I've never seen it. Every corner I take, there were crippled men. And remember, I took at least 4 corners to get to the office. And every corner, there was a crippled man. It was an unusual thing for me because the Lord took my challenge and showed me that he wanted me to get into the ministry. You see, I realized there is something that God wants to work in us. And he calls for a response. Are you with me? You see, you don't respond for the sake of responding for your need. You are responding because God is doing something in your life. Are you there with me? God wants to do something in our lives. So we need to get deeper into it and get over to where God wants you to be. The moment you respond to God, God begins to respond to you. So I ask you today, would you come and stand on the holy ground? Because this is the place where destiny is revealed and impartation is received. This is the place where destiny is revealed and impartation is received. God is inviting all of us to get into a new place. You have been dried up in your old place. You have been so sick and tired of your old place. You are now called to a new place, which is a higher place. The place where God wants to reveal to you your primary destiny. And he wants to impart the anointing upon your life. You see, Moses was given that destiny. Go back to Egypt. Go back to Egypt. That was his destiny. The destiny that was given in a clear mandate. Because the people were crying now. I want you to go back to Egypt because I want to deliver them. Joshua also received the same destiny. He was given a destiny to go into the promised land. That destiny was very vital. So he was there to prepare and get ready to go into the promised land. You see, you and I need to recognize the call of God. The call of God in a new way. I want to read to you what happened to Moses when God gave him the destiny. He says this, listen. Exodus chapter 3 in verse 7 to verse 10. I won't read everything, but I just want to give you an idea. He says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their soft drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. How many of you know that God heard your cry? Amen. I do not know how bitter and how painful your feeling or your situation is. I want you to be rest assured. God heard every word that you just said. Amen. Amen. God heard. And then he went on. So I have come down to rescue them. God is a rescuer. Amen. If you said, I've been praying, Pastor, for many years now. Don't worry. He is coming. Hallelujah. He is coming. And then he goes on and he says, to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and all the ites you can think of. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. If you're going through tough time, if your boss is actually not treating you well, I want you to know God saw that. Amen. God saw that. If your husband is not treating you well, God also saw that. If your wife is not treating you well, God also saw that. If your children are not treating and honoring the parents, God also saw that. How many of you agree what I just said? Come on. Amen. That's the truth. And then you know what he says? So now go, he told Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Do you know sometime when you pray, God deliver me, you know how he delivered you? He sent people to you. Oh, are you there? Come on, somebody tell me. Say amen. He sent somebody to you. Some of you are so mystical, you just want to hope for a lightning to strike your husband or boss, your wife, whatever. You know, no, God doesn't do that. You know what he does? He sends somebody to you. He sends somebody to speak to you. He sends somebody to help you and get out of your situation because God is our deliverer. And then he also said, Joshua, in Joshua chapter 6, he also gave him the destiny. And listen to this. This is something very vital. He said in verse 2, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its kings and its fighting men. And then verse 3, he says, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse. You know something? Verse 2 tells me the Lord already delivered Jericho into their hands. Are you listening here? Already done that. The action has not been carried out yet, but he already said it is done. How many of you know that sometimes when you are praying for something, a need, and God says it is done, but you said, but it's not there yet. He's waiting for you to take the step of action. Do you notice that? Take the step of action. Yeah, Joshua, I delivered Jericho into your hands, but now march around the city. Action has not been carried out, but I told you, you have already been given that promised. So church, listen very carefully. The destiny is given to you already. Somebody say amen. It's already given to you. And now, not only that it was a place of a destiny that is given, impartation that is also given, but it is also a place of assignments. You have to do something about it. God's assignment is very strange. It is given to you that is far beyond your own personal skills. God did not give you any assignment that you can do by yourself. When I started the church, I told my children, I'm running out of steam. I'm at a certain age, I don't think I can pioneer again. And I know it's not possible, because the assignment to do again and pioneer another church, it's difficult. But the Lord's assignment is always beyond your skills. That's the assignment that God gives to us. Look at the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples knew it was tough. We don't have enough food to feed them. We don't have enough money or resource to feed them. Look at this, only about 5,000 men. What about the women? Some of them brought their wives. Some of them brought their rascals and their little kids running around in the field. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. But you see what happened? The assignment was given. And it's something that is far beyond. But because it is far beyond, we also need to make our choice to trust the destiny that God has given to us. We have to decide, brothers and sisters, either to make sacrifices and expect a miracle, or we can just settle down with nothing to expect. We have to decide. We have to decide whether we're going to sit down and not walk around Jericho and expect miracle to happen. No. We have to decide to walk around because we believe that He will fulfill His words. We have to decide whether we want to be diligent and expect a reward and also a miracle, or we just want to sleep and play. You won't expect anything from that. Because Proverbs tells me the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to false labor. That's what the Bible says. You see, my parents, and I'm sure many of you too, your parents came from a generation that was very familiar with the idea of sacrifice. Am I right now? Our parents have made sacrifices. They have done their utmost best. But today, in the younger generation, can I say this to you with no offense? I think we need to learn from that. Because many of us, we are taking conveniences. If it's not within my convenience, I won't do. But my parents doesn't teach me that way. And I believe your parents too, some of you. They will teach you what it means to make sacrifices. And I've heard some of those people from China, from any Hong Kong and other places, came all the way here, brought their little ones to have their education here. They make so much sacrifices. You see, we know what it means to make sacrifices and expect miracle. We have to decide. We have to decide to take the risk and expect deliverance. Like Queen Esther, she risked her life so that there will be deliverance. Or you can decide to abandon your call and then just continue to retain the chain that is in your own heart. I like the good news that God showed me when He gave the destiny unto Moses and Joshua. And I also see many other individuals in the Bible. Abraham was told to go to a place that he had never been. It was a sacrifice. He doesn't even know where he will be. But in order to see the fulfillment of God's promise and the impartation, he went without knowing where he was going. Look at Noah. He was called to build an ark on a dry land. He took that sacrifice, he took that risk, and yet was ridiculed by the public. But he did it because he wanted to see the unprecedented miracle. He wanted that. How many of you want to see unprecedented miracle? I want to see God's miracle take place. Amen. I want to see God's miracle in a creative way. When there is a growth in the body, the growth disappears. Somebody say amen to me. That's what I want to see. Because I know this is the God that I'm serving. I know this is a God that makes natural intersect with supernatural. And I'm praying for that intersection to take place. Hallelujah. So then we can experience God's miraculous work. You see, the assignment for Moses was about passing over. The assignment for Joshua was about breaking through. The task is enormously difficult. It is hard. And that is why it requires the power of God. When God gives you assignment, brothers and sisters, it will never be an easy task. Listen to me. It is always a task that requires us to depend on His power. Are you there with me? It requires you to depend on His power. Somebody say amen. We all need to be dependent on Him. Since all of us are given the assignment in our own individual lives, what should we do then? You see, the very strange thing about this assignment is this. The Lord told Moses and to Joshua, take off your sandals. Am I right or not? Take off your sandals. It simply talks about an agreement with God's plan. Because in the Old Testament, removing the sandals is a significant act in terms of a contract or a deal. If you remember the book of Ruth, when the king's man redeemer is supposed to take over Naomi and Ruth, he refused. And so there was a gathering of the elders that Boaz took 10 elders with him and sat down, and the king's man redeemer removed his sandal and lifted up to indicate that there is a contract that he needs to deal with. And Boaz decided, says, if you refuse, I will take over. And so he did. You see, the act of removing the sandal was an act of agreeing. Apart from the idea that there was also an act of reverence and humility, because it was a holy ground. But brothers and sisters, as I begin to see the whole entire event here, removing of the sandal was meant for them to make an agreement with God's plan. And I pray today that when you come and stand before God's holy ground, you will remove your pride. You will remove your ego. You will take off your sandals symbolically and say, Lord, I'm here to agree with your plans. You gave me the assignment, and I cannot run the assignment by my own ways, by my own ideas. I could run with your plans. Nobody can run on their own plans. So you see, when God gives you an assignment, He also has a plan. Somebody say amen. And He wants you to have an agreement with His plans. In this particular agreement, we can learn to walk with God. And we should never rely on our past. We should never rely on our past experiences. Be it success or failure, it doesn't matter. We never rely on the past. I cannot say this is what I have done in 1988 with the very first church I pioneered. I can't rely on that because I'm on a different ground. I'm on a different culture. I'm on different people. The Lord never asks us to rely on our past. I do not know what your past experiences are. Some of you have victories. Some of you may have some failures due to mistakes and problems. But never rely on your past. How many of you are ready to start afresh? Amen. When the Lord began to call us into a place, giving us a destiny, imparting that anointing and the presence of His goodness upon our lives, and now He desires of us to fulfill the assignment that He has placed in our heart as the people of God in this land, in this great land that God has placed us, and He wants to anoint us, and He wants us to fulfill it by making an agreement with God. An agreement to walk in His ways. An agreement to depend on Him despite what you have in the past. Do not even ever think about bringing back your past into this place. In this place, I honestly want you to know this is the place today, a place of God's miracles. And also at the same time, when the Lord plays an assignment, it is hinged on to worship. It is also hinged on to worship. Listen to this. When Joshua and the Israelites were instructed to shout, but before that there was a trumpet of the ram horn. They were blowing. There was such a tremendous, powerful sound that is coming out as praises unto the presence of God. there was this great sound of the ram horn. And they were blowing loud as they were encircling Jericho for the seventh day, 13 times. Every time they walk around, they blew the ram horn. You know, when somebody blow a horn in front of your house, it can be very irritating, am I right or not? But I can tell you honestly, they were blowing it, they were praising the Almighty God. And when the praises were sounded, and all of a sudden they stopped, and there was such a loud shout to affirm their praises unto God. The Bible tells me Jericho fell in the name of the mighty God. Jericho fell because there was praises before the victory. Somebody say amen. And then in Moses' time, this is what happened. Moses told the Israelites after they were delivered, and he says, let's return to the mountain of the Lord to worship God. Here we have another incident. After their deliverance, there was a worship lifted up before the Lord. How many of you know worship began before and also worship began after? Brothers, sisters, worship. Worship is everyday affair. It's not just only after I receive, even before you receive. Have worship before God. Have praises before God. Because the Bible tells me the Lord dwells in the praises of his people. Somebody just give him a clap offering to the Lord. The Lord is worthy to be praised. Some of us, we are so conscious in praising God. Can I urge you today? Nobody cares how you look. Hello? Nobody cares how you look. They're only concerned about you dedicating your life to worship God. Do you know when we worship the Lord like the whole band that played? And I tell you honestly, with great worship, chains are already broken in Jesus' name. Are you with me? Chains are broken. Your heart is liberated. Your mind is renewed. You are ready to receive the word of God. The enemy flee in the power of that worship. So there will be such a great worship being lifted up even before the preaching of God's word, before even any prayer for victory is already being done. God already broke that chain. Somebody say amen. And then when you have that wonderful experience, that awesome experience, get back to God and worship him and thank him for all that he has done. That is what you know, come on. But there's one thing that I saw in the passage of Moses and Joshua was this. This holy ground encounter is such an awesome experience because you know why? God showed up. It is a place where God shows up. He peels back the veil so that the natural will be able to have a glimpse of the supernatural. When God shows up, he speaks. How many of you know God speaks? Amen? God speaks in the burning bush. God speaks in the whirlwind. And by the way, Elijah heard a gentle whisper. God speaks. You see, when God shows up, something is triggering inside. When God shows up, Abraham stopped before he launched the knife unto Isaac. When God shows up, he told Abraham, look around. I provide you a ram instead of offering Isaac. When God shows up, something began to happen. The Red Sea parted. That no man could do anything about it. When God began to show up, right in the very Pentecost day, suddenly the Holy Spirit came, baptized the people. The flaming fire was upon them. They were speaking in new tongues because God shows up. The disciples were praying. They were praying. And all of a sudden, the rushing wind came upon it. God shows up. You see, when God shows up, nothing can stop him. When God began to show up, I want you to realize that God began to change our stories. Our past stories can be removed. He's going to put in a new story. He's going to create a new chapter in your life. He wants to create a new destiny. He wants to create a new path. He wants to create a new road. Church, I want you to know, when God shows up, you cannot be the same. When God shows up, Gideon, who was the least likely choice because he was the weakest and the lowliest in his family. But the Lord says, I will be with you. You see, when God shows up, he can make things right. When God shows up in your office, somebody is going to be touched by God. When God shows up in your home, somebody is going to be changed. Somebody is going to be raised up. Somebody is going to be transformed by the power of God. Are you with me? When God shows up in my home, the Lord began to touch my life. I was the youngest. I was the weakest. I was not a very, very smart kid in front of all my siblings, as they claim. But my father says, this guy, my youngest son, rocked the boat. It's such an amazing thing, isn't it? When God began to show up, you cannot be the same. I cannot understand when people say, oh, I just want to be my own now. I got to be by myself now. I just got to live my own life. You can't. When God shows up, you cannot be the same. What you were will always be changed. Unless and until when God shows up, you didn't know. He was there, but you didn't know. God shows up. And he set up everything right. Because my God is the God of order. If your family is not in order, I want you to know God has either shown up and you were not there, or because of your life, God has not shown up. Are you there? If you are going through your situation and you struggle every day, and you say, where is God? God has shown up. He set things in order for you. When God showed up in my life, all those wrong things were corrected. Do you know that God showed up through my wife as well? Somebody say amen. All the men are so quiet, isn't it? Huh? When God shows up, and he shows up sometimes through your wives. Because he did that with me. Wow, this morning I have a very strange visitation. I was telling my wife, in the bathroom, I said, hello, hurry up, hello. Then my wife, hello, what are you doing? Why are you calling hello? Then I was just thinking, well, before we got married, we were dating, she called me Kelvin. Then when we got married, she called me honey. And then when we had children, she called me daddy. And after when children grown up, she called, hello. Hello. Wow. All of a sudden, I don't have my names anymore. Hello. Hello. You calling me hello? We had a good laugh. And then after that, I drove the car just outside of my garage. And I just waited for her. So I drove the car. And as I was parking outside, before I closed the gate, I came out. To be honest with you, I didn't see her at all. So I parked my car. I came out on my right side, and I went this way, back to at the back of my car, and waited at the gate, waiting for her. Because earlier I said, hurry up, we are late already. I was waiting at the gate, and I said, why is it so long? I was like, my, you know what I mean? And the boisterous water was rising up. Not that bad. So all of a sudden, I said, never mind, I just get to the car. And I get her, she was actually sitting inside. And I was, when did you appear? This is scary, you know that? I didn't even see you. Where? And I thought you saw me. I said, no, I didn't see you. How come you were inside? I was standing there outside. He said, oh, I thought you saw me. That's why I was waiting. I thought you went into, and I thought, and I thought, and I thought. I said, man, this is pretty scary. I said, this is like transportation of Philip. From the house to the car. Transported right straight to my car. I said, wow. Next time when I drive, and I just stare at the seat, and I'll just wait for you to appear. You showed up this way, and it's pretty scary. And then she said, oh, when you were driving out, I thought you saw me going throwing something into the rubbish. I said, no, I didn't even see anybody as I drove. Wow, that was like, this is a mystical appearance. And it's pretty scary. You know, not only that my wife knows my thoughts, you know, but she can appear all of a sudden from nowhere. Ah, this is very scary. But as I was just thinking aloud that this morning, and I said, wow, what if God actually showed up in such a manner? What if God showed up in our church today? How do you feel? Will you be comfortable? Will you be comfortable? What if God showed up in your life and caused all your plans to be melted down? What's going to happen to your response? Something for us to think about. What if God appears? What if God appears? But I do know one thing. When God appears before or in our lives, there is such a serenity of His presence. Fear dissipates. Confidence and courage begin to build up. Passion for the name begin to grow. Things that you never say it's possible, now you begin to say it's possible. Because when I see God shows up, you can never remain where you are. What will be your holy ground experience? What will be your holy ground moments, brothers and sisters? Where is it right now? Can I say to you that your holy ground experience is right here, right now, in front of you? Because the gathering of the saints is where the presence of the Lord is. This is the holy ground. I'm serious. This is the holy ground. And when you begin to stand there, the Lord is going to bring in the new destiny upon your life. And you cannot remain the same. If you remain the same, you are probably ignoring what God is doing. You are probably looking and saying, I don't want to be part of it. You're standing on holy ground. You have to make a choice. You can either go close to the burning bush, or you can turn your back and walk away. You can either listen to the commander of the army of the Lord and take your sandals and make an agreement. Lord, you gave me the assignment, and I will do what you have called me to do, and I will work according to your plans. Or you can just walk away and say, Lord, I don't think I want to be part of this. Something for us to think about. Because the holy ground is the place where destiny and impartations are given. The holy ground is the place where God has given you the assignment. The holy ground is the place where the worship is also produced before and after your deliverance. Holy ground is also a place where you make an agreement with God and say, Lord, I will not do anything by my own plans. I will not raise up my family by my own plan. I will not work in the office based on my own plan. I will not go to school and study and think this is the way I'm going to do it. No, I will not do it. I will do according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I pray today that why there are people who have lost their children to the world is because they have not taken the serious steps of abiding to the plans of God. And they constantly say, this is how I think, this is how I feel, this is how I do. Brothers and sisters, if this is how you feel, this is how you think, this is how you do, can you please throw it into the Yara River in the name of Jesus Christ? Because you got to get back to the road that God has given to you. This is how how God thinks, this is how God works, and this is how God does. And when he does it, that's the way we agree with. I did not sign up to be a pastor to do my own thing. I signed up to do what he wants me to do. Amen. Brothers and sisters, are you ready to receive that impartation? I want to close this and say, come. Come and stand on the holy ground and experience what God is preparing for you. You see, God's work is no respecter of age as well. You can be as young as you are. You can be as old as you are. But I can say only one thing. When God is standing with you, you are a mighty warrior in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.